Psalm 146, let's read these 10 verses responsively. I'll read on verse 1, and please then, if you would join me on verse number 2, every other verse down through the end of this psalm, Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for again these sweet words in this passage, this psalm. Bless it as we study it together tonight. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
I have some goals as long as I'm going to be getting older. No one can guarantee the next breath. I can't any more than you can. But I don't want to become a persnickety, crotchety old man. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be angry every day. I don't want to be a morning person or an evening person. I want to be a person. And I want my mornings to be joyful, and I want my evenings to be joyful, and I want my trials to be joyful, and I want my testimony to be joyful. The older I get, I want that to always be that way. And I say that tonight in introduction to these Psalms. The older David got, the more he praised the Lord. He didn't become like so many of us today. You get old, you get mean, you get nasty, you get quiet, you don't have any praise, you don't have any smiles on your face, all you have is a bad attitude. I don't want that to happen to me, older I get. And I realize that there are a lot of people like that, and I've met a bunch of them. I really have. And over these 36 years, there's been a few of them in our church as well. When they got older, they just sort of got, their testimony was not good. Their attitude was not good, and it should not be that way. You think about all that David went through. You think about the trials. You think about the battles. You think about the disappointments. You think about the illness. You think about the things that he caused, and 70,000 men people dying because of a mistake that he had made, and other things that he did, a child dying. But yet the older he got, the more he praised the Lord, and he praised God more and more and more and more and more. And please don't you ever be upset with me for praising God and being thankful for my testimony. I don't want to become just a mean old man. I don't want to do that. At 70 years of age, and I'll be 71 this year, and I was talking to a friend of mine today who had asked me to call him. He turned 71 in April, and he's going through an incredibly hard time right now. And I tried to encourage him rather than being one who would just sympathize with him and not offer him any help or any words of encouragement. I tried to offer him some encouragement along the way. I didn't preach to him. I just said, hey, you think maybe God's got a plan for all this? He knows what's going on, doesn't he? That ought to give us some kind of assurance in our hearts that God is not in the dark about anything in our lives. And I say again, David, the older he got, the more praise he produced in his life. And it ought to be that way with every one of us. And by the way, look around in this auditorium tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all getting older. And it doesn't matter how young you are, you're getting older every day. Someone says, oh, I'm another year older. Well, I was another year older on October 17th, too. And another year older on October the 18th. And another year older on October the 19th. That's just the way life is. But the older I get, I don't want to become a bitter old man. Have I had disappointments in my life? Yes, I have. Have I had hurts in my life? Yes, I have. Have I had things go wrong in my life? Yes, I have. Have I made wrong decisions? Yes, I have. Have I had all kinds of negative things come into my life in my 70 years? Yes, I have. But I don't want those to rule my heart and make me a mean, bitter old man. I don't want to be that. I want to be someone who at least has joy in my heart under the tears that may fall out of my eyes. I don't want to be a bitter individual. Thus, we come to the Hallelujah Psalms. The last five Psalms are called the Hallelujah Psalms, and that's because they begin with Hallelujah and they end with Hallelujah, each one of them. It's very interesting about these. And by the way, what does it mean? Praise ye Yah, like for Jehovah, which means praise ye the Lord. Vacation Bible time, we would do the Praise the Lord contest with all the boys and girls. And it was fun to do that, but it was praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. And I enjoyed that. Some may, not in our church, but some may disapprove of something like that, but the children enjoyed the contest, and I loved hearing them praise the Lord. Well, something very interesting to note is the fact that each one of these five psalms comes, they emphasize a different book in the Old Testament, in the first five books, in fact. There are five Hallelujah Psalms, and there are five books in the Pentateuch. And of course, that's going to be Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And as we read these verses together tonight, I saw the very direct reference to the book of Genesis in Psalm 146. Psalm 146 consists of Genesis, and Psalm 147, Exodus, and Psalm 148, Leviticus, and Psalm 149, the book of Numbers, and 150, the book of Deuteronomy. Kind of makes me wonder what we're going to find in reference to each of those books in the Pentateuch as we go through these last five Psalms in the book of Psalms. And so in that, these Psalms are songs of praise. And remember what I said, the older David got, the more he praised the Lord. About what was the psalmist saying? Hallelujah. I mean, what was he saying hallelujah about? Well, there had to have been something. And of course, he was saying something about hallelujah with a definite subject. And he was praising the Lord because he had the same God that Jacob had. How do we know that? I want you to look at Psalm 146 and verse 5. Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's what he was rejoicing the Lord about. That's what he was saying, hallelujah. That's about what he was saying, amen, and glory to God, and all the rest of it that he might be saying at that time. He said, I have the same God that Jacob had. I have the same God, the same one. When I think about that, by the way, that's the same God who met Jacob in the story of Jacob's ladder. You remember that story in the Bible? Jacob's ladder, it's in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 13. It says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. There's the book of Genesis again. We're talking here about the book of Genesis, the same God. And let's look here at Genesis 32 and verse 10. He was the same God when Jacob had nothing at all. Genesis 32, 10, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. And he simply says he's not worthy. Didn't have how the Lord blessed him. And it's the same God when Jacob deserved nothing in Genesis chapter 27 concerning Jacob and Esau and the story of the birthright. Think about that. You realize Jacob wasn't the one who was first born. You realize that Esau was the one who was supposed to get the birthright. But you think about that, and God blessed him anyway. And it was the same God who promised Jacob absolutely everything. And this is the God of all grace. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he had suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. God gave him everything. An amazing story in the Bible about Jacob. Amazing story that we need to learn from and understand that we have a God of all grace when you think about that. You realize we have a God of all grace, we have a God of all comfort. Think about that. Everything that God is available to us, and truly happy is the man who has this God for his God. Same one. When you read in the Bible, you know, people say, well, God's never come through for me. Well, have you ever gotten into the Bible and see where God came through for people? And you realize you have the same God who hears the same prayers and answers in the same way. And God does great and mighty miracles. And what a wonderful God we have. And here we have this hallelujah psalm praising God for the God for having the same God as Jacob had of all things. And happy is that man and who has that same God. And by the way, look around. Every one of us have that same God. We don't have a different God. We've got the same one. You realize the one who spoke the universe into existence and who created man out of the dust of the ground and the one who made woman out of the rib of a man and the one who made everything that now is, we see him. He is our God as well. How can we go to him and doubt his power? How can we go to him and doubt the promises that he has made? As Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. We have the same God. And you think about how the Apostle Paul was reminding the Corinthian believers that they had the same God too. All the promises of God in him are yea. And in him, amen. But if you're like me, sometimes you need a reminder, don't you? If you're like me, sometimes you don't remember what he did in the past. And I look at a lot of the Psalms when I remember years ago when we were teaching through the Psalms, how many times he would say, oh, I looked around and the enemy was prospering and I looked around and this was happening and my foot well nigh slipped. He said, but then I looked back and I saw what God had done. And I realized that God's going to bless me too. Think about that. You go to God in prayer every day. I hope you do. I hope you do. You realize who you're talking to? You're talking to the God of the universe. You're talking to the God of Jacob, the very God whom David wrote and said very plainly. And let me just read you the verse again, verse 5. Happy is the man who hath the God of Jacob for his help. Wow, that's an amazing statement. So, couple of points that I want to give you that are enumerated. It'll be easy for you to remember if you're taking notes. Number one, you can say hallelujah when you don't put your trust in a man. What? Yeah, you can say hallelujah when you don't put your trust in man. Psalm 146, verses 1 through 4. Notice with the words, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live, will I praise the Lord. That's a lot of praising going on right there. He says, I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. When it refers here to the Son of Man, it's not talking about Jesus. It's talking about people, okay? There are some very good reasons for this. Why he said, don't put your trust in man. The word trust here, it's a very interesting word. But once you boil all the fat off of it and you look at what the basic word basically means, it means this, and I quote, confidence, that is, to be secure and without fear. It's the word confidence and to be without fear in that confidence. Verse 3 admonishes us not to put our confidence in man. It says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Who are the princes? Those are the big guys. Okay, that's the big guys, princes. That's the leaders. That's, you don't put your trust in a man. How many times we said it about our president. And we thank God for our president, and I'm glad he's the president and not the other one who ran against him. I thank God for that. But you know, my trust is not in him. My trust is in the Lord Jesus. My trust is in the God of Jacob. Why? Because man is going to fail, and everyone in this room has seen even our government leaders in the past fail in one way or another, no matter how good they were personally, you see. Well, that's the big guys. Then it says, and the son of man, that's the little guy. That's the next door neighbor. That's just somebody that's somebody. Putting your trust in man. And God admonishes us not to put our trust in people. Not that they're not trustworthy. And listen, what I'm saying is this. Every relationship in life is built on trust. But your main trust has got to be in the Lord. That's just it. People will fail. What does it say? The arm of flesh will what? The arm of flesh will fail you. But Jesus never fails, okay? I would hate to think that your relationships on this earth are not built on trust. You know, husbands ought to trust wives, and wives ought to trust husbands, and pastors ought to trust their people, and people ought to trust their pastor or get into another church or whatever it might be. And what I'm saying is, it's not wrong to trust, but it's wrong to place all of your confidence in people. Men will fail. To trust the creature more than the Creator is simply foolish. Say it again, to trust the creature more than the Creator is foolish. Man can help some. That's like the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. You know, the Bible doesn't say that it doesn't profit. It says it profits little. So you can't say, oh, you can't, your bodily exercise, that's no good. Put your trust in God. That's not what it's teaching us. It's teaching us that it helps some, but it's not the final answer. And so man can help some. Yes, they can. God can use people to answer your prayers without you going to people trying to get them to answer your prayers. God can do that and has done that. I can't even begin to tell you over these 36 years how many times God has used a person or people to answer the prayers of this pastor without me running to them and trying to tell them, oh, pray that God will give me $10. Pray that God will give me $10. And then some poor fool hands me $10 and says, I'll give you $10, but God didn't do it, I did. I'm not talking that. I'm talking about going into your prayer closet and getting alone with God and asking Him in secret so He answers you openly. Through these 36 years, we have seen God do that over and over and over again, you see. In man, there is no help. And that word help, would you look at it? Very interesting word where God put that word in there on purpose. And again, boil all the fat off of it and get right down to the basic meaning of the word. It's talking about salvation or being delivered, saving help. And so man, yeah, if man in man, there is no help. There is no salvation in man. There is no deliverance in man. All that comes from God. And here the psalmist made a very plain statement, very plain statement. He says, no, don't put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man. He says, because they will fail you. The arm of flesh will fail you. Absolutely. I want to say this. I got four little statements I want to give you before I leave this point. A man can bring you to Jesus, but he cannot save you. I thank God for Ben Conrad. He's been in heaven now for a number of years. That dear man witnessed everywhere he went. He witnessed to his doctors, his nurses, his friends, his neighbors, everything. He witnessed. He was a soul winner from day one. And that was the man that brought me to faith in Christ. I thank God for that. But he didn't save me. He didn't save me. In times past, you get to lead somebody to Christ. And of course, they don't know the lingo, and most of us don't know the lingo either. And they'll say, oh, he saved me. No, I know what they mean, and you know what they mean. And then we get all holy and we get all humble. Oh, I didn't save you, Jesus did. They don't know the language. But the truth of the matter is, I can take somebody to Jesus, but I can't save them. And neither can you. Here's another statement. A man can help you stop an addictive sin, but he cannot deliver you from its power. I think about Bob Marvin giving a testimony when he would drink and smoke. God took the desire away from him when he dedicated his life to the Lord. He laid the cigarettes down and poured out the beer, and that was the end of both of them, and God delivered him. No man can do that. No 12-step program can do that. No Alcoholics Anonymous can do that. Only God can deliver a man, and that's what God can do. Same thing's true with any type of drug. Third statement, a man can hear your confession, but he cannot forgive you of your sin. A man can hear your confession, but he cannot forgive you of your sin. He may be able to forgive you for a wrongdoing against him. I forgive you. But we're not talking about that. I'm talking about today, people go into the little booth and they talk to the priest on the other side of the curtain or whatever it might be, the divider, and that man may try to absolve them of all their sins. He doesn't have the power to do that. He can listen to the confession, but he can't forgive you as a sinner. There's no way that's going to happen. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen that way. When I first went to Hiles Anderson College, they had acquired a Capuchin Catholic seminary. That was their building. I mean, there were baptismal receptacles all through the building. I mean, the ones that were made out of some kind of ceramic and stuck in the wall, and they put holy water in it, and they could cross themselves and all that. There was even a confession booth that had the red and the green light up at the top of it before they got it all out of the building. Really amazing. And I used to be a tour guide at the college, and I knew where all those things were. The thing that I didn't understand, though, well, I didn't understand why anybody would want to confess their sins to a man who couldn't forgive them anyway, were those little baptism receptacles that were in the walls. It had a cross, and it had a crying Christ on one side of it and a smiling devil on the other end of that cross, other side. I never did understand that. They got rid of all that junk. But let me say this. You know, a man can hear your confession, but he can't forgive you of your sin. There's no way. And fourth statement is this. A man cannot create a world, but he can sure make a mess of the world that he lives in. You realize this? They talk about the miracles of science. They can't even create dirt. Think about that. They can't even create dirt. They can make wind, but they can't create wind. Very interesting. So you can praise the Lord when your confidence is not placed in a man. Let me say it again. You can say hallelujah. You can praise the Lord when your confidence, your deliverance, your salvation is not in a man. Second point that I want to give you is verses 5 through 10, and that is this. You can say hallelujah when you put your trust in God. You can say hallelujah when you put your confidence in God. You can say hallelujah when you trust Him. Verses 5 through 10. Happy is that man that God had the, that, excuse me, happy is that he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made, now listen to these references here out of Genesis, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. And then he says, praise ye the Lord. Starts with hallelujah, ends with hallelujah. There's some very good reasons for this, about putting your trust in the Lord. Very good reasons for when you put your confidence in the Lord rather than in princes and in the sons of men. There are good reasons for that. The man who does this is called happy. Isn't that something? The word happy. And by the way, this is right here in this particular psalm, song number 146. There are 26 Beatitudes, just like in the New Testament, found in the book of Psalms. I'm going to give you those references. You can look them up. If you get the outlines, you'll be able to study them out of the outline. But it's 26 times that the word blessed or happy is the man, or happiest is the same word. When I was in college, I remember Dr. Hiles teaching us in Psalm 1. And he said, you know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the... And he's trying to define what the word blessed meant. And he said, the word blessed means happiness, all the happiness that a person can have. The purest of all happiness is happiness is I got to make that plural. And I remember that from when he taught us, well, in the book of Psalms, there are 26 blesseds or happinesses or whatever you'd like to call them. And let me give you those references. I'm going to give them to you twice. 26 references twice. They're all Psalms. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Psalm 2 and verse 12. Psalm 32 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 33 verse 12. Psalm 34 and verse 8. And by the way, you're thinking right now, I know some of these psalms by heart, and that's exactly where the blesseds are, the blesseds and the happiness is. I said Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 40 and verse 4. Psalm 41 and verse 1. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Psalm 84 verses 4 and 5 and verse 12. Psalm 89 and verse 15. Psalm 94 and verse 12. Psalm 106 and verse 3. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Psalm 119 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 127 and verse 5. Psalm 128 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 127 verses 8 and 9. Psalm 144 verse 15. Psalm 146 and verse 5. And let me give these to you one more time, if I may. And again, if you get the outlines, you'll have all of this. I didn't write the verses out. You can look that up on your own. And I know you would. Psalm 1 in verse 1, 2 in verse 12, 32 verses 1 and 2, 33 verse 12, 34 verse 8, Psalm 40 verse 4, Psalm 41 verse 1, Psalm 65 verse 4, Psalm 84, 4 and 5, and 12, Psalm 89 and 15, Psalm 94 and verse 12, Psalm 106 and verse 3, Psalm 112 and verse 1, Psalm 119 verses 1 and 2, Psalm 127 verse 5, 128 and verses 1 and 2, 127, 8 and 9, 144, 15, and 146 and verse 5, which is our psalm for tonight. Yeah, by the way, that's not the only books that have blesseds or beatitudes. There's a number of places throughout the entire Word of God where there are beatitudes like we find in the New Testament and we find here. Man can only bring you to Jesus, but only Jesus can save you. Let me say it again. A man can bring you to Jesus. That's what witnessing is all about. That's what soul winning is all about. That's what passing out gospel tracts is all about. That's what inviting people to church is all about. You can bring people to Jesus, but you can't save them. But you got to get them to Jesus so that he can save them. Psalm 146 and verse 5 very simply says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. I've written down a few thoughts about that. Three, in fact. Let me give them to you. Man can help you stop an addictive sin, but he cannot deliver you from its power. Only God can. See, don't you believe in 12-step, 10-step, 5-step, 7-step programs? I'm not saying I don't believe in them. I'm saying that God is the one who delivers. And years ago, I brought a sermon called He Delivers, and got it off of the U.S. Mail commercial. He delivers, he delivers, and he does. And he's the one that does do the delivering. The other thought that I had was, man can listen to your confession, but he cannot forgive you of your sin. Only God can. And man cannot create a world, but he can mess up the world that he lives in. God created the universe, not man. Psalm 146 and verse 6. The Bible says, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. You can praise the Lord when your confidence is in him. That's just it. The God of Jacob, you can praise the Lord if your confidence is there. Oh, listen, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, we can watch the newscast and we can listen to the radio and we can read the, people still get newspapers, we can read magazines and all these different things. And listen, it's going to change from day to day, but we have a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever, and he never does change. That's why you can put your confidence in him, you see. So there's a great comparison made in verses 4 and 10. Look at verse 4. It says that man as well as his thoughts will someday perish. You realize God's not going to perish? Every person you know is going to die or has died. Think about that. It's just the way things are. His thoughts are going to perish. He's going to perish, but God does not. And look at verse 10. It says here, verse 10 says that the Lord shall reign forever unto all generations. That's where you put your confidence, is in the Lord. Much of the time, we buy more wisely that which we trust. I think about when school starts. I've talked to many a parent about this a number of years ago, and when it came to our Christian school and all the rest of it. Sometimes the best deal is not the best value. You go to Walmart and you pick up a backpack for your kids, you know, and I remember using this illustration. And it's made out of plastic or it's made out of vinyl. And all you need is two or three ice cold days outside before that vinyl or that plastic is going to break. And then you end up reinvesting in another backpack for your kids. Same thing goes with notebooks and all the rest of it. And any parent who has ever had a child in school and had to buy school supplies knows exactly what I'm talking about. It may be a good deal, but it's not a good value. And I told parents, spend a little bit more money so that you don't have to replace what you buy. Get something that's made out of material. It may not have a picture of a dragon on it, may not have a picture of a pig on it, may not have a picture of some other fuzzy animal or whatever it might be, but get them something that's going to last them so that when they're walking to school and they slip and fall back on their backpack, it's going to protect their books and it's not going to break in the snow. Sometimes a good deal is just not a good value. And so we tend to buy things that we really trust, things that'll last. But when we trust, that we tend to trust in things that are temporal. That good deal, that Walmart savings, that backpack that used to be $20 is now $5 on clearance and it's made out of plastic. Oh, it was a great buy at that time. But then when are you going to replace it? You're going to replace it after it folds. That's like, you want to hear my opinion on something? Now there's a thing coming out, and it has for a few years now, called a folding phone. Has anybody else heard of those folding phones? They fold just like this. Rather than opening or having a screen on it, it's got a screen on the inside that actually bends. And I've said to myself, I know Apple's got one coming out in September, and Samsung has had one now for quite a while, and other companies have had the same thing. Foldable phones. I wouldn't touch a foldable phone with a 10-foot rod. I'm going to tell you why. You bend it, it's going to have a mark on it, or it's going to break. The technology's not there yet. And people are going to run to these things. Oh, look at this. And the next thing you know, they're going to take it to a repair shop, and it's going to cost them $1,000 to get it fixed. Okay, it may be a neat thing, but I wouldn't have one. If it bends, it's going to break. I don't care what it is. It's just the way it is. And so you're not happy when that temporal thing is of poor quality and it fails, and neither are you happy when the temporal thing in which you trust fails. That's just the way it is. Oh, I got a good deal on this kind of a TV or this kind of a computer or this kind of a laptop. It only cost me $150. Yeah. Just wait till that thing breaks. Somebody's says, well, I thought it was a good deal and I saved a lot of money. Well, how long is it going to last? I've got opinions about that, and I think everybody else does too. But what I am saying is this: you don't trust things that are of poor quality. That's why God says, don't put your trust in princes, don't put your trust in the sons of men, but have your confidence in God. You are happy when the thing you bought lasts. Think about that. When it lasts, of all things, what a good investment that was, you see. You will also be happy when you trust in the Lord, as it says very plainly in verse number 5. Happy is that man, is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, in whose hope is it, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And I told you about the word help, talking about salvation and deliverance. And I told you about happy, praising the Lord. He's happy because it's the God of Jacob that's his God too. And you can put your confidence in that. Aren't you glad tonight that we have a God whom we can have our confidence in? Oh, well, God's never done. Yeah, right. What have you done for God? What I'm saying is God is, he never changes. And you, by the way, you can trust him to be consistent with his word. You can trust him to be consistent and faithful to his promises. Very interesting. You know, it's interesting what it says, and I'll close with this completely. But it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why is he faithful? And why is he true? Why does if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Why is he both of those things? He's faithful to his promise, and he's just toward his son. That's why Jesus gave his life. He's faithful to his promise. He's just to his son. And I'm glad we have a God like that. And again, we go right back to the very beginning of the Bible study tonight, where the word of God says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. And all I can say is hallelujah. Praise the Lord.